Welcome to this Frequency Matters podcast. I'm Pat Hindle from Microwave Journal, and today we are discussing software-defined radio applications. Here to discuss this topic with me is Victor Wollison, founder and CEO of Pervesis. Welcome, Victor.
Welcome. Thank you.
So software-defined radios, or SDRs as we call them, have progressed a lot in the last few years, and they're now being used in many applications. So let's start with spectrum monitoring. So Victor, how are SDRs being used for spectrum monitoring applications?
For spectrum monitoring, in which you have to capture and analyze large parts of the spectrum, we use software-defined radios because they provide a lot of agility. And nowadays, they're allowing users to capture very wide amounts of bandwidth at high sample rates and analyze it and put alarms in a lot of applications almost instantaneously.
Yeah, we've seen the real-time bandwidth really expand to capture a lot of data. What are the main attributes that engineers should consider when selecting the best SDR for this kind of application?
Well, depending on the application, often what they're looking for is tuning speed, tuning bandwidth, which is the amount of instantaneous bandwidth that they can view at any one time, along with the tuning or the bit resolution of the converter devices. So that's basically how granular you can capture the data that you are receiving.
How about specs? Can you give us a few general specs of what you guys are able to accomplish in those areas?
Yeah, so we're able to do 16 bits of converter resolution, to give you some hard numbers, and 1 gigasample in our mainline products. But then for other products, we can go up to 3 gigasamples per second at a reduced bit resolution, so 12 bits.
Very high performance. So what are the benefits and drawbacks of using SDRs for this application?
So the benefits are pretty straightforward. You have a very high sample rate and very high bit resolution, which means you can capture and you can kind of like, you know, grab a very, very large amount of information. The drawback is obviously when you move to this sort of technology, it's a little bit like drinking out of a fire hose, right? So it really does force you to put in different technologies in place in order to effectively parse that information.
So how about radar applications? Have SDRs been successfully incorporated into radar systems?
Yeah, absolutely. So our products used in several production radar systems. The way that it's used is very similar to like how traditional radar systems pre-SDR were used. So we're used as a digitizer and as an exciter. So basically what happens is we generate the waveform, we can store it on the radio, and then we can send it at the beginning of a range line or at the beginning of a temporal location. And we can simultaneously receive data and broadcast that.
So what benefits have you seen from the deployment of SDRs in this space?
The biggest one would be one of performance and cost, right? So what we're able to do is provide a much higher level of performance at a lower price point. And I think that's like provide that enables, especially now that you see a lot more UAVs, a lot more interest in that area. It means that the utility of these products, especially when it comes to like more interesting applications, such as like, hey, how do we make sure that a stadium remains safe and you don't have random things falling from the sky, right? What it does is it really enables that and democratizes the ability of this technology, which if you think about it, a radar system is a pretty high-end piece of kit, right? It's not something that your neighbor has, even though your neighbor might have right now a UAV. So by bringing down the cost and making it a lot more accessible, right, the goal is that you can deploy these things a lot more widely than they are right now.
What future advancements do you see in this space, and how will SDRs be a part of that evolution?
The biggest one that we see is with regards to, again, ensuring that the access of this product is a lot wider than it was traditionally, right? So in terms of being able to have more people use technologies and use applications, right, what we're seeing is that the computing technology is improving more and more. And as a consequence of that, you can have a lot more people benefiting from it.
Yeah, being software driven, it seems like you're able to do a lot more things that you couldn't do without that. It's very flexible and can be used in many applications.
That's exactly it, right? And I think that's a large part of where the power of this technology is, which is to say that by kind of switching it to a software focus, what we're seeing, especially like over time, is the power of these applications, the power that our customers do as they get more and more familiar with, like, you know, because there is a little bit of a generational gap in terms of, hey, I need to now have a skill set, which isn't necessarily the traditional engineers, like, we're going to build a radar system skill set. It's a little bit more towards like, okay, so not only do I need to know all of this radar stuff, I also need to know all of this computer, all of this high performance software stuff, right? And as that gap is closing, and there's, you know, there's some really great advancements in the software domain to enable that as well, right? We're seeing people kind of connect the dots and be like, hey, I have this really cool library. Like I have CUDA over here, and then I have like this template language over here, and I can put it all together to make a really cool application with the following features, which traditionally you wouldn't even be able to have, right? So especially when it comes to, say, decluttering on the radar side, or when it comes to like spectrum or alarm management, so you can take the FFTs much faster and then do an action based on that.
Yeah, we've talked about cognitive radar for many years. Do you see SDR being able to enable that soon?
Yeah, I think the tricky part when it comes to cognitive radar, to be honest, is I think sometimes the goalposts keep shifting on that one. So what, you know, what the things that we're now taking advantage of, and that you see widely deployed, like for 4G, and this is not even 5G, just old, you know, old fashioned 4G, they took advantage of some of the concepts there already, right? Especially when it comes to spectrum management. When you see a lot of the Wi-Fi applications, especially for the 5 GHz band, they're already, at least in Canada, aware of the fact that you might have some weather radars here, right? So they pause, they listen, hey, am I close to such a radar? If they are, they stop broadcasting or they shift their frequency. So a lot of those things are now, we just take them for granted. But of course, everybody's like, when will cognitive radio really come to the fore? And it's like, you know, they're a little bit of shifting goalposts, as is the nature when you talk about, you know, a concept like that. So I definitely think software-defined radio has its place in advancing it. At the same time that I tell you with a very straight face that I think in some instances it's already here.
Good point. So switching over to space applications, what are the biggest challenges that SDR manufacturers see for meeting customer requirements in the space industry?
I think the biggest one would probably be like, you know, the standard complaints of SWaP, like size, weight, power, cost, right? Because everybody wants it all. That's definitely an ongoing challenge. Making systems that are compatible with one another is another one. Like, it's not just enough to get the data, you need to have systems that are able to process it. And those are probably the two biggest challenges, right? Because the need of our customers to have great performance is an ongoing one.
How are SDRs used in the location market, GPS, GNSS?
So we have a pretty wide use in there. In many cases, software-defined radios are used to test the actual equipment or the satellites that are actually deployed into those markets.
So why are they used over other equipment?
The flexibility. So predominantly what it means is you can test and you have like, you can create new test vectors. You can test the performance of the end product, right? And in some respects, you can also test hostile or adverse environments. So it's not just about testing the product, you know, will it work in the normal case? It's also about, hey, in the presence of interferers, in the presence of unexpected transmissions, how will the product work? Will it correctly reject those transmissions? Or what are the thresholds in which it might be susceptible to various forms of interference?
So you've described a lot of applications for SDRs. You know, just wrapping it all up, what are kind of the future of SDRs? Where do you see the technology going and having an impact in other areas?
The honest answer is, it's kind of like asking the future of computers. Where do you see that having impact, right? The fact is, it's a pretty powerful technology. And in and of itself, I see it being deployed a lot more widely, right? Because the kind of two connections it brings together is it allows Moore's Law when it comes to just transistors and putting them to good use, right? With wireless communications where people just don't like wires, right? So it's a really interesting space and a really interesting intersection. So I think as time goes forward, what we're to see is being used in a lot more applications. And as the cost of these products goes down, we're going to be seeing it used in very casually in a lot more different applications, some of which maybe we don't even know right now.
Good points. Well, thank you, Victor, for joining me today to talk about software-defined radios and the benefits of using them in various applications. We appreciate you giving us your expertise about SDR technology, and we thank everybody for listening today. You can listen to more podcasts at podcast.microwavejournal.com.